Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This week I want to continue on in a series on the book of Acts. I'm excited about it. Last week we looked into Acts 15. I'm going to do the back end of Acts chapter 15 this Sunday. And this Sunday and next Sunday. And this isn't meant to be a teaser, a leader or anything. But the back end of Acts 15, the message I want to speak on this morning, irritated me for years. Kind of a why, how come, how can these things happen in the church? And then Acts 16, the beginning, don't look at it yet, the first three, four verses, I'm like, I don't understand. Anybody ever read the Bible and you're reading something, you're like, I don't understand. How in the world? Why in the world? What's going on? What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with me? Does everybody get it but me? That's kind of Acts chapter 16 for me next week. I'm like, I don't get it. People seem so adamant, and then they do something 180. God blesses it, and I'm like, I must be slow. I must be super slow. So this morning I want to touch on something, and again, you'll understand at the conclusion of the meeting this morning. Just this message this week, this Sunday, it just broke my heart for years. Still, there's just like a pain when I read the verses. And then I understand, I take a look in and I'm like, Lord, but how much pain have I caused? And some of the fallout from my life. Does anybody feel like they're still under construction in life? You know, you're not quite there where you want to be yet. You know, you don't have the bad attitudes that I do. You don't have to mess with people throwing the baseball like that one wants to. But you just look at your life and you're like, Jesus, why? I've been a Christian for 47, 48 years now, and I'm like, why am I still struggling with some of the things I'm struggling with? And some of the new struggles, I'm like, where did that come from? I didn't not invite that in. But the Spirit of God just opens up my heart to see so I can see me, because He's kind and He loves me and He wants me to change. And it's those deep things, it's those inner things. He just puts His finger on out of total grace, total love. And He says, Tom, I want you to see you. I want you to see you for the way you really are on the inside. And I want to shine my light deep into every area of your life, that His blood, His cleansing power goes through and brings life and turns dead things into life. So as we look through the scriptures this morning, this is just one that in the Bible particularly pains me, and yet life comes from it. Last week I talked about conflict, in the beginning of Acts chapter 15, the church and healthy doctrine and healthy faith in Jesus was very much in trouble as some of the Jewish people came up from Jerusalem and troubled the church in Antioch and began teaching things that were no longer relevant for the church of Jesus Christ, bringing in rules, traditions, paradigms, thinking from the past and trying to put it on the Gentiles and people going forward. And Paul and Barnabas stood up and said, no, we are not under law anymore. We are not having to do rules and traditions. And I talked about there was 613 rules and laws under the law of Moses. 613. And Paul and Barnabas and the leaders in Jerusalem brought down a beautiful, amazing, life-giving ruling. It's faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. But as we read through Acts, I find so often in the book of Acts, which is one of my favorite in the Bible, I know I have lots, but it just seems like there's conflict and conflict and conflict and so much conflict in the book of Acts. And I wonder, why would Jesus highlight that? Why would He put all that in the Bible? All these challenges and conflict. And as I look at it, I think people's stuff, everybody say stuff. People's stuff is so apparent in the Word of God and in the book of Acts. And this morning, the title of this message is Stuff. Why stuff? I don't like stuff. Why? Because stuff is in me. And God wants to get the stuff and beat out of me. Yeah, that was just off the moment. That was not thought through. Let's read Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41 from the New American Standard. This is following on from the conflict that we looked at last week. Here's some more, some new. And this one, for me, it particularly pains me. Acts chapter 15, verse 36 to 41, New American Standard. Verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." The first missionary journey had already happened. Great things, amazing things had happened. And Paul said to Barnabas, because the two of them went, said, "Hey, let's go back. All those places that we went, some of them they had to leave immediately because they got stoned. And it was amazing tribulation. So they couldn't stand around and stick around in the afterglow for weeks. Oh, wasn't it amazing? They were running for their lives, fearing for their lives in some of the places. So Paul says, "Hey, Barney, let's go back. Let's check out where they are. What happened? We proclaim the word of the Lord. What is happening?" Verse 37. Barnabas, who is an apostle, was an apostle. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. This is my pain. Barnabas wants to bring a young guy along. Verse 38. But Paul, an apostle. Barnabas, an apostle. Paul, an apostle. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, John called Mark, who had deserted them in Pamphylia, which is a region, think Missouri, had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Verse 39, and there occurred such a sharp disagreement. Two Christian brothers, two leaders, two godly, powerful men. Miracles had happened at both of their hands already. Miracles. Revival had broken out in so many places because these two guys were called of God. Verse 39, and there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark, the young man, with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he, Paul and Silas, he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Oh my gosh, what the heck just happened? Two godly, godly, amazing, miracle-working leaders. And it's such an ugly argument. No, no, you can't put roses on this. There's not enough chocolate in the world to put on this to make this sweet. It is an ugly occurrence between godly people. Ever have a challenge with godly people? Amazing people? What the heck just happened? What happened here? I'll tell you what happened here. Stuff. People's stuff just happened. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us this morning. Help me this morning. Help me communicate your heart. We would comprehend and understand your heart, King Jesus. We could see us as we really are in reality. Not how I want to be seen, not how I think I ought to be seen, not how I wish I was on the inside, but Lord, that through Holy Spirit glasses, I could see what you see, how you see, what you want to see, what you want to see from my life. Holy Spirit, that you would help this church family going forward. In life, in truth, in clarity, in honesty. Lord, that you would help us with our stuff. Because we're people. We're people made in your image. We're called, anointed, And Lord, yet we have stuff. Help us to be real. Help us to be transparent. Help us to be humble. Help us to find your heart in the midst of our stuff as we look at these people's stuff. Father, for your glory, your testimony, your namesake. And everyone said, amen. Acts chapter 15, stuff happened. It was so hideous to me. It was so horrible. The early part of chapter 15 that we looked at last week, there was stuff happening. And Paul and Barnabas are fighting for each other, alongside each other. They're standing with each other for truth, for good, for grace, for honesty, for heaven. And now these same two guys who fought such an amazing battle together are now fighting with each other. Like, how can this be? Stuff. Their stuff. Our stuff. My stuff. Stuff. If we read this passage, who's this Mark guy? Who's this John guy? Is he a Cubs fan? What was the problem with this guy? And the Cubs, if he's a Cubs fan, we can overlook that. We can get Randy to put a Cardinal jersey on him. Who is this Mark guy? John Mark. He seems to be the crux of the issue. This young man. So just a little background on who this John, also called Mark, is and was. Acts chapter 12, verse 12 and 25 says this. Who's this guy, this John Mark? Earlier, Peter was released from prison in the middle of the night. We looked at this a few weeks ago. Acts chapter 12. Peter went to a house in the middle of the night. Hey, I'm the guy you're praying for. Acts 12, 12. And when he realizes, Peter, went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark, where many were gathered together. Where did this guy come from? He's Mary's boy. He's a good Jewish boy. Actually, a Jewish mother, Gentile dad. That's another point, another day. But John Mark is a young kid. He's mentioned here in Acts 12. But John Mark is a son of a believing mom. He's a young man. Why he's highlighted here? Because God's going to use him miraculously. Acts chapter 12, verse 25, same chapter. It's a little further on. Peter notices John called Mark, and now verse 25, same chapter. And when Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. This young man first met Peter, and he's so gifted, so anointed, so shiny. He's like the new shiny toy, John Mark. Who's that? He's just that guy who just everybody notices in the room. Doesn't say he's an extrovert. Doesn't say he's a loudmouth. Doesn't say anything about him. All we know is people are noticing him and the scripture notices him. This young guy, John Mark. So what's the big deal? What's the problem in chapter 15? If Barnabas and Paul are going to split over this guy, what happened? What's the big deal? Well, John Mark happened to be yesteryear's Yoko Ono. And if you don't know who Yoko Ono is, it's okay. The band is splitting up. Who's the problem? John Mark is the problem. Let's look back a couple of chapters. Barnabas and Paul's first missionary journey. Do we have a slide of a map? Okay. We never use these. First missionary journey. They start in Antioch. Paul, Barnabas, and young John Mark. They started in Antioch. Down into Cyprus, island. That's where Barnabas is from. And they get up to Perga. P-E-R-G-A. See that, Perga? That's where John Mark says, I'm out. I quit. He goes back home. Barnabas and Paul go up into Pisidia, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe. The two of them go up there. But this John Mark bailed on them right in the middle of the first missionary journey and goes home. We're going to read that. Acts 13:13. You can drop the slide down. The pictures, we don't usually do that. Acts 13:13. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia region, but John Mark, left them and returned to Jerusalem. This is the apostle Paul and Barnabas. They take this young kid along. Training time. OJT, on-the-job training. They take this young kid along, and halfway through it, this young kid says, "See ya! Not what I was thinking about. I'm out of here. I quit. I'm going home." That was the problem. This young kid said, "No, this is not what I was thinking about." The problem was, somebody remembered the bailout. An apostle named Paul. Back to our text this morning, same one we started with, Acts 15, verses 37 and 38. Remember, John Mark bailed on him, first trip. Now, second trip is coming up. Same text, second trip. Barnabas, apostle, wanted to take John, called Mark, along with him also. Verse 38, but Paul kept insisting. Why? Because he got this kid already proved unworthy. He's already bailed on us once. Not doing it. Lesson learned. Once, shame on me. Twice, shame on you. But Paul kept insisting. I wonder what that means, kept insisting. When you hear those two words, kept insisting, what do you think that means? He ain't letting this one go. You can say all the pretty words you want to say about this kid. I ain't letting it go. He kept insisting that they should not take him along who had deserted them. I love that word. It's such a strong word. Deserted. They could have said went home. Bailed. Got homesick. Had a headache. Had a sniffle. Heard that his baby kitten was struggling. I need to go home to mittens. But the scripture uses the word deserted them, which I think aptly summarizes Paul's argument. He didn't just go home. He deserted us. Such strong language from such a non-passionate man, Apostle Paul. When Paul makes an argument, baby, it's coming with force. He's keep insisting, deserted, and had not gone with them to the work. We don't know why John Mark went home. We have no idea. Was he over his head? Did he get scared? Was he worried about his mother Mary? Not mother Jesus Mary, different Mary. Maybe he's just young, got cold feet. We have no idea why John Mark failed, pulled the parachute on the first journey. We have no idea. But Barnabas and Paul are two of the biggest names out there. In the whole Bible, Barnabas and Paul are two of the biggest names in Scripture. They're powerhouses who fought side by side. And now, they're not just willing to separate, they are separating over one man, over a young man, over one failure. Powerhouses. Maybe you're brand new. Maybe this is your first time. If you're a guest this morning, my name's Tom. My wife, who's on the screen, who's not here, another story. We have the privilege of pastoring and leading this church and serving this church, and we love it. Maybe you're a guest here and you haven't been in church very long. Great. I mean, not great, but great. However you found to be here today. But maybe it's not your first, second, or fourth time. Maybe you've been in a church, two churches, three churches, five churches in your background. Maybe you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30 years. If you have, if that's you, the second group, you've been around just a little while, you know, less hair, gray hair, any color. Have you ever noticed leaders who can't get along? Church splits, arguments, dissensions. Ever seen any of that in the Church of Jesus Christ? Not me! What's wrong with you people going to unhealthy churches? Why can't leaders get along? Splits, divisions. God bless you and me. What's the problem? I'll get more to that in just a second, but I'm just going to say, a lot of times with strong people, strong leaders, comes this beautiful, beautiful, godly word called stubbornness. I know so many leaders. I'm not going to include myself in the group. I'm stubborn enough not to. But just stubborn. Ugly. So many leaders are so black and white in their thinking and in their acting. They have amazing strengths. And coupled with those amazing strengths, and this is what gets us, what surprises us early on, is with those amazing strengths come amazing weaknesses. And many times it's the same flip of the coin. I'm going to get way ahead of myself. Elements of sandpaper personalities come out. Like you're so, whether they're amazing teachers or amazing worship leaders or amazing quarterbacks, whatever their gifts are, you think, oh man, I wish I could be like them. And then you see them 5 years, 10 years, 20 years later, you're like, oh my goodness gracious. I want to get out of the way of that hurricane leader. Just blows people over. And at times when we see the imperfections of people, it can jade us. It can harm us. It can do something. It can harm us in a way because I so respect and respected that leader. How in the world could they behave like this? Because that's what I loved. That I loathe. There's a huge difference between the things we love and the things we loathe. With Paul, let's just start with him. That same grit that is in Paul, that he was left for dead. Left for dead, stoned to death. They all walked away. Good, the man's dead. He's not dead. Why? Because he's Paul. He's irritating. He's annoying. He's not dead. He's going to come back. Of course he did. Why? Because Paul has got guts, tenacity off the charts. He's grittier than grit. It's Paul. Able to argue with anybody, stand up to all the Pharisees, all the ugliness. It's Paul. But now that same grit, that same power, that same ability is now being used on a young man. We don't know how old he is, 18, 23, 25. But that same grit, that same tenacity, that same... Here's Paul. I don't care if you stone me, I'm getting up. Why? Because I don't quit. If you put a little moniker after the Paul, known as Apostle Paul, he just wouldn't quit. Ever. It's not in his DNA to quit. And here's a young man, first time out, shows what's impossible for Paul. This young man quit. What's the big deal? Paul, in his mind, the way he's wired, is now projecting the way he's wired on somebody who's very different than him. We do it in relationships. This is important to me. Why don't you have that same value? Wife, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you stop talking? I didn't say that. Powerful people who have personalities and characteristics, some of them so noble, but the flip side so ugly. Mr. Paul, no quit in him, and he's got no time for anybody else who does. No time. Leave Junior at home. We've been down that path before. For Paul, it's unconscionable. It's inexcusable. It's unforgivable. Stay at home, young man. But Barnabas is totally different. Barnabas is kind. Soft heart, soft on the, from the external, appears to be much softer on the inside, Barnabas. And Barnabas is like, hey, Paul, great idea. Let's go back and encourage the churches. Yes, let's do it. Hey, I'll go get Mark. John, I'm going to go get him. New opportunity. Let's go get him. Because he's like, hey, new opportunity, new day. Because that's Barnabas' heart. Let's give him another shot. Let's put him back in the game. Sure, he struck out, went 0 for 3 in a World Series. Let's put him in the batting order again. Swing away. Paul insisted. Now Barnabas, for whatever reason, gets his dander up. He insists right back. I think Paul insisted louder. What's the big deal? Why would Barnabas stand for this young kid? What's the deal? Barnabas, you're willing to break up this powerhouse, earth-changing, heaven-bringing relationship that the Holy Spirit brought together? Barnabas, what is your problem? Why this young kid? Acts 13, 2-3. Remember this now. So important. Acts 13, 2-3. Barnabas and Paul. What's the big deal with these two? While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work to which I have called them. It's Holy Spirit originated. Holy Spirit picked them out. I want these two powerhouses, these two very different Clydesdales, to pull the wagon together. What's the big deal? Colossians 4:10. A little keyhole glimpse into what's the problem going on here between Paul and Barnabas. Colossians 4:10. This is Paul writing years later. Paul's writing this. Verse 10. Aristarchus, a gentleman, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings. And also Barnabas's cousin, Mark. Oh! John Mark isn't some young hotshot that in some glitter that caught Barnabas' eye. John Mark happens to be family. Blood family. And I guarantee you Barnabas has had his eyes on young John Mark since John Mark was born. He's heard all the prophecies about John Mark. And yeah, John Mark bailed in Pamphylia. Sure, he bailed. But this kid has got it. Paul, he's got it. He's got it. What's the big deal? It's family. It's not the whole deal, but I think it's a big part of the deal. Acts 4:36. Barnabas, Joseph. Acts 4:36. Going back, staying into the same book. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who is also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. What's the big deal? Barnabas is an encourager. Barnabas believes in people. Barnabas wants to put courage into people. Barnabas naturally wants to put courage into people who are discouraged, who have no courage on their own, who have failed. Barnabas is your champion. Barnabas is the guy you want in the foxhole with you when you're afraid. Barnabas is the man. He's not antagonistic. He's not abrasive like Paul, but he's absolutely vital to the team. You need Barnabas on your team. He's going to pick the players up when they need to be picked up. I believe Barnabas would have been a perfect Marine. Leave no man behind. That's Barnabas. He's not going to leave anybody behind. He may have bailed on us once. Let's give him another chance. So it's such a big deal, so adamant, they broke up. I don't know who was right or who was wrong, Barnabas or Paul. I think they both were. I think they were both right and they were both wrong. Absolutely and completely over one young man. Isn't it amazing what things show from my heart? For me, it's just driving down the road, another driver. It shows what's in my heart. Somebody who's got too many items in their shopping cart in the 15 or less aisle. It shows what's in my heart. The person at the counter ready to pay for their groceries, $320, takes 5 minutes to ring up all of their stuff. And at the end, that's $320. Oh, $320. And then they want to find the 19 cents. It shows what's in my heart. In this situation, a young man showed what was in two men's heart. It seems like so much could have been averted if they just found Jesus in the midst of their conflict. And one of the things I love about the Bible so much, I love it. If it was me and you're going to have my life, well, so many people, they do their life story. There might be one or two little ugly things in it just to show that you're fallible and you're not perfect, but you did this, 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 and this. The Bible shows warts and pimples and wrinkles and everything. It shows the abscesses. It shows the broken bones. The Bible shows everything about it. Why? So that I can learn. So that I can see all these fairly perfect people that I think are so perfect are people just like you and me. And I take such great courage from that. Like, you got powerhouses, Barnabas and Paul, they're splitting over a kid who quit. I think, Jesus, what's in me? What am I willing to lose people over that in retrospect is nothing in comparison to losing somebody's heart? Why does the Bible show all these things, these realities, these ugly things in people's lives? So that I can learn. So that I can learn. And my question for you and me today is, am I learning? Am I learning? There's all this conflict. It's all right here. It's all conflict. Am I learning? Am I taking application to myself, looking at my relationships with my friends, my work, my boss who's... it's church. We're not going to use that kind of language. That neighbor who's driving me crazy. That husband, he just doesn't change. The Bible shows all these conflicts so that I can learn heaven's principles and apply them so that I don't keep being me without Jesus in them. Am I growing up and looking and acting like Jesus? Am I doing that when it's hard? Am I doing it when I have run out of patience, run out of grace? I look at Paul and honestly, I think Paul was difficult to get along with at times. Difficult to get along with. Really difficult to get along with. But you want a groundbreaker? You want, you know those icebreakers up in the Antarctic and they cut through and they break ice open? You think it's like, I don't know, how many feet thick? That's Paul. He's an icebreaker. He's a blunt object, a blunt instrument. 2 Timothy 1:15, the Bible says this about Paul. This is him writing to his Timothy, his young friend. This is Paul's own words. You are aware of the fact that all who were in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Bob and Carl. Remember last week when I said some men and just the grace of not having to point out names? Paul said, name the names. Let them know. Let history recall, it was these two dudes. He said, all of Asia's left me. Sometimes I wonder, I wonder if he actually made leaving him easy because of some of his character traits. I wonder if Paul, as wonderful and amazing, and people loved him so much, cried when he was leaving. I think there was a lot of people that didn't cry when he left because of the way he was. Jesus, help me. The gospel is to restore people, not hold the past against them. The gospel is to build people and strengthen people, to prepare each other for eternity. That's why the Bible highlights family and meeting together. Why? Because on my own, I'm amazing. When I sing at home, I would have CDs that sound just like me. My voice brings heaven down. It didn't sound right. I may actually bring heaven down in a bad way when I sing. But on my own, I'm amazing. I rarely disagree with myself. I find I almost always am right. If I didn't think I was right, I would change my mind. I'm right. But then God gave me this wonderful woman not sitting here today who disagrees with me, and she's so wrong. She's so real. My wife is a truth teller. And God gave me relationship so that I would see me accurately. And gave me a family so that I would see me accurately. Just in the last 2 weeks, I hate conflict. Everybody say, hate conflict. I hate conflict. But God's put me in a position where I get to be involved in conflict all the time. It's so cool. And I'm gonna keep this real short, this part, because I want to get to GBH. Because I really like it this week. The Great But How. Just in the last 2 weeks, I went into a situation and I went in to help somebody. That was my mindset. I'm gonna help somebody. And I went into a situation having some information. And I went in to help somebody. You know where this is going? Can anybody hear the train come down the track and the train wreck ahead? Yeah. So I went in to help somebody that didn't ask for my help. That's weird. So I went in to help somebody, didn't ask for help, didn't need my help, but I offered my help. Oh, I inserted myself. And the good thing is I went in with a preset, determined bit of information and conclusion. Didn't that sound cool? No one's asking for my help, and I went in with already my mind made up what we need to do. Can I just say it didn't go so well? In the last 2 weeks, with dear friends. I know. Obviously it wasn't you. Oh, no. Ew. And just realize I am causing conflict. Why? Because of the way I am, just the way I thought, the way I projected. I'm causing conflict. And I had to repent and ask for forgiveness. And fortunately, I had some people who were very, very kind, very gracious with me. But in that moment, three people saw me. I saw me, and this other couple saw me for the way I really am in some situations. And it wasn't pretty. Now, what normally happens in church? Bye-bye. I cause pain to some people. And it happens in life. And I saw me in a whole new light, and I didn't like the light. Turn the light away. But that's one of the beautiful and amazing reasons why Jesus puts us in family. So that I don't go in... searching for a word. Oblivious. That's not the right word, but it works. And lack of understanding and a lack of reality, understanding how I really am. He puts me in family so that I can see myself as I really am from heaven's perspective. Give me a chance to change. Doesn't mean I'm going to change. Gives me a chance to change when family is around me who love me enough to help me continue to change and love me and be patient with me. Because that's what we need for each other. Jesus. Great, but how? Why are there splits in churches? Why are there divisions? Why do relationships tear? Why is there seeming at times decades of animosity between parents and children and children and parents? Decades of animosity between siblings. Decades of animosity between spouses and ex-spouses. Usually the ingredients are sin, hurt, offense, arrogance, pride, a lack of changed behavior, lack of humility, a lack of forgiveness, unresolved character problems. There's a lot of reasons why conflict happens and conflict remains. But great, but how? What do I do with this? When in conflict. It's not if it ever happens, but when it happens, because we're in family and conflict is going to happen. I want to refer back to last week's message. And one of the main points that I made from last week's message, if you weren't here, listen to it. It was good. I liked it. Acts chapter 15, verse 13. This is last Sunday's message. There was conflict, great conflict. And in Acts 15, 13, the Bible says this. In the midst of the conflict, after they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, Brethren, listen to me. After they had stopped speaking. So often in conflict, somebody's still yakking and not listening. If you want to get heaven's help in the midst of conflict, stop talking and start listening. If I can just elaborate on that quickly. What does stop talking means? In the midst of conflict. This is what I mean, stop talking, stop speaking. Have you learned how to calm yourself in the midst of conflict? To calm yourself. To self-soothe your irritations, your anger, your at times righteous indignation. Have I learned how to stop talking and calm myself in the midst of conflict? Not easy. Second thing, after I've stopped speaking, have I shut down? Have I pulled away? Or can I, while I'm calming myself, can I now start listening? Not to words, but to heart. Huge difference. Anybody ever say, "But you said"? I've never said that to my wife. That's a snort for her because she snorts. As soon as I say, "But you said," I'm bringing up something from the past. Potentially, I've missed someone's heart. I've tripped over their words. What were they trying to say? What was their heart intent? In the midst of conflict, don't get lost on the actual words, pejorative words that were used. What were they trying to say? They said it maybe so horribly. They said it so wrongly. The word they used actually is so hurtful. But what was their heart trying to communicate? Can I hear that if I want to bring godly resolve? First, stop speaking. Second, listen. Listen. What is their heart saying? Third, humble myself. Humble myself. I'm in the midst of conflict. Am I loving this? And if you do, you're wrong. I hate the conflict. Maybe the first thing I should do is just humble myself and ask myself a couple of diagnostic questions. Ask myself in the midst of the conflict, am I being kind? Here's the first thing. Am I being kind? In my communication in this conflict, am I being kind? Second, am I being concise? My wife and I have been working with families for decades. And it's like the nightmare that won't end. When people get on a hobby horse and they're talking for 94 minutes, trying to diagnose the problem. In 94 minutes, ma'am, sir, the plot is lost. Can I be concise? What's the problem? So many words, we lose the plot. Be concise. Third thing, be clear. You saying this? No, let me be clear. I actually am saying this. Be kind, be concise, be clear. Stop to listen what's being said. Fourth thing, do I need to actually listen? Again, hard. I came in thinking this, but I've actually found this, but I don't find this if I'm still racing in my mind. In the midst of conflict, stop and listen again. Fifth thing, I'm so worked up. Do I need to ask for a recess? You know, in the midst of a day when you're in fourth grade, highlight of my whole world was recess. I'm not liking this. I'm going to recess. Sometimes in the midst of conflict, we need to ask for a recess. Can you give me 30 minutes to settle down? Can you give me 30 minutes? Right now, I'm all worked up. I'm angry. You need just to take a pause. Number six. There's only nine, so don't sweat it. Number six, muse. I know I hear that, boy. It's time. In the midst of conflict, muse. What is their point? Can I consider their point, not mine? Number seven, pray. Father, let me consider their point. Help me hear their heart. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm agitated. I'm worked up. I'm so mad I could spit. Holy Spirit, help me. in the midst of conflict, to hear you, see you from their vantage point, not mine. I'm really clear on what mine is. Am I clear on what theirs is? Eight, the next to last, is consider their point. Stop and consider for just a second their side, their story, their hurt. I know about mine. Can I, Holy Spirit, help me understand what they're feeling? Stop arguing in my head, justifying my position, my opinion, and consider their point of view. Last, number nine, in the midst of conflict, own my stuff.
Yeah, but.
No more yeah, buts. But you did 18 things. What about the two I did? I can't make them see the 18 things they did. But when I know I've got two out of the 20 that are mine, own it. I have found, I'm glad she's not here. I know you're here, honey. When I own my stuff, when I ask for forgiveness, it changes. 9 out of 10, it changes. When my wife sees humility, when my wife sees me owning stuff, she's much more apt to be able to respond to me in grace. Much more.
Well, yeah, but you didn't. They did 90.
Doesn't make any difference what they did. Can I own my part, my stuff, and put a period on the sentence? And that say it's now your turn. Before Jesus in heaven, I'm going to own my stuff. What they do with it, that's between them and heaven. I'm going to own it. Father, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you that it shows the challenges, the pains, the relational issues. Lord, not to make us choose sides between Paul and Barnabas. Father, that I would understand heaven's principles. That I would apply what Jesus said, what the Bible says. I would listen to what the Bible says about truth, about reality, not what Oprah does or Dr. Phil does. Jesus, what does the Bible say when I'm in conflict? What does the Bible say about an angry, hurt heart? What does the Bible say about how stubborn I'm feeling? Jesus, help me. Help us as a family to grow. Help us to use kingdom principles that we find throughout your word. Help me to actually make application and not just ask everyone else to make application, but help me, Lord. Help me to see my stuff, not beat myself up, but to grow from it. And the beautiful thing in this story is, we don't have time for it this morning, Paul and John Mark were restored. Multiple references in the Bible about later in life, Paul saying, I need John Mark. Help me send him to me. There is hope. Amen? Father, thank you for your goodness. Bless this family, and we would change, hear your voice, and be just like you. If you'd like someone to pray with you this morning, we have a prayer team. If you didn't get necessarily what you needed and wanted earlier, come forward. We'd like to pray with you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.